CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
America's support for Israel is ironclad.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, after a meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in Tel Aviv, it comes on the heels of Israel's order for 1 million people, even more, to evacuate northern Gaza within 24 hours ahead of an apparent ground invasion. Correspondent MTS Tayyab.
Despite everything, there are many Palestinians who are still refusing to leave their houses. That's because a large number of people in Gaza are descendants of those who were expelled from their homes during the creation of Israel. They say they've had to abandon their homes once and that they won't again, no matter what.
Protests are growing in the U.S. University of Washington students rallied in support of the Palestinian people. Cairo reporter James Lynch.
Nearly 1,000 students and supporters gathered in Red Square. One supporter who wouldn't give me his name says,
"Everybody's talking about Hamas attack, but nobody talked about us for 75 years of ethnic cleansing and genocide."
A handful of Jewish demonstrators were there as well. They call the protest disgusting.
House Republicans are getting ready to meet again to plot a new course on the path to choosing a speaker. Steve Scalise gave up his bid last night when he couldn't round up enough support to win approval in the full House. He blames infighting with his own party.
There are some folks that really need to look in the mirror over the next couple of days and decide, are we going to get it back on track? Are they going to try to pursue their own agenda? You can't do both.
A contract breakthrough in a labor dispute that sent 75,000 Kaiser Permanente nurses, pharmacists, and other employees to picket lines for 3 days last week. Unions announced a tentative agreement this morning, averting a longer and larger work stoppage next month. Wages and staffing have been key issues. Police in Philadelphia say an officer was shot and killed at the airport there last night, and a second officer was wounded when they confronted people who were breaking into cars in the parking garage. Interim Police Commissioner John Stanford.
A numb moment for us to again encounter something like this.
They say suspects got away in a stolen Dodge Durango. One of them dropped off at a hospital, died. S&P futures up 13. Check out the sky tomorrow morning for the annual Ring of Fire solar eclipse. Jeremiah Letta and his family have their spots staked out in an RV park in New Mexico.
Our whole vacation encompasses that one event. So this eclipse is just a four-minute shot in a 10-day vacation.
The eclipse will be visible from Oregon across the Southwest and into Texas when the darkest part of the moon's shadow slides across the sky. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Wisconsin Senate committee will vote today on advancing legislation that would remove a work permit requirement for younger teens to accept a job. The bill would abolish work permits currently required for 14 and 15-year-old Wisconsin children looking to join the workforce. Proponents say the government should not stand in the way of a child who wants to start working. Those against the bill say it removes the right of a parent to sign off on their 14 or 15-year-old child working. A Western Wisconsin elementary school was placed on lockdown after a nearby incident involving an assault rifle. The Ladysmith Police Department reports a man was mowing his lawn on East 9th Street South and contacted police after a neighbor confronted him and pointed an AR-15 rifle at him. The neighbor, 57-year-old Corwin Blackwell, was arrested on charges of first-degree recklessly endangering safety and disorderly conduct. The incident occurred after school hours, but students were still in the building for extracurriculars and went into lockdown as a safety precaution. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The 7th Annual Cap Times Idea Fest returned to Madison September 17th, featuring conversations with leaders in government, business, education, social justice, and culture. IdeaFest moderators and guests looked ahead to what the future could look like in Wisconsin and how we reckon with change brought on by the pandemic, the Black Lives Matter movement, and other forces. Civic Media proudly partnered with IdeaFest and will present segments of this year's recorded gathering this weekend across the Civic Media Network. Tune in Saturday at 2 p.m. on your favorite Civic Media station.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes. Buckle my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's What's on Tap for the Chippewa Valley. 93.5 The Tap.
Many's the time I've been mistaken, and many times confused. Yes, and I've often felt forsaken, and certainly misused. Oh, but I'm all right, I'm all right, just weary to my bones. Still, you don't expect to be bright and bon vivant so far away from home. So far away from home. I don't know a soul who's not been battered. I don't have a friend who feels at ease. I don't know a dream that's not been shattered or driven to its knees. Oh, but it's all right, it's all right, for we lived so well so long. Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what's gone wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what's gone wrong. And I dreamed I was dying. I dreamed that my soul rose unexpectedly. Looking back down at me, smiled reassuringly, and I dreamed I was flying. And high up above, my eyes could clearly see the Statue of Liberty sailing away to sea, and I dreamed I was flying. Or we come on the ship they call the Mayflower. We come on the ship that sails the moon. We come in the ages most uncertain hours and sing an American tune. Oh, and it's alright, it's alright, it's alright. You can be forever. Tomorrow's gonna be another working day, and I'm trying to get some rest. That's all I'm trying, get some rest.
That's music from Paul Simon, celebrating a birthday today, the 13th of October, born on this date in 1941. almost 10 minutes after 9 o'clock now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And if you have an opinion on anything we're discussing this morning, feel free to call in. I'd like to hear what you have to say. The phone number is 715-388-7155. And by the way, you could also send me an email message if you'd prefer to do that. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stu, by the way, spelled S-T-U. And as you know, and by the way, I should give you some updated temperatures. 50 degrees right now in La Crosse, 45 degrees in Hayward. Actually, even though I just checked those temperatures, they're the same as they were like an hour ago. Pretty steady temperatures today in most places. Lots of rain, pretty windy, depending on where you are. But that's the way it is in October, right? As you may have heard, Congress is no closer to getting a Speaker of the House right now than they have been for the past few days. You probably heard that it looked like Steve Scalise was going to be the guy, but now he withdrew his name last night. So everything is still wide open, and Scalise lost the behind-the-scenes election. I should say he won the behind-the-scenes election, beating Jim Jordan, but now they're saying that Jordan might be the guy. But if Jordan couldn't even beat Scalise, what are the chances that everybody's going to get behind him? Obviously, I think there was a divide between the moderate Republicans and the more extreme Republicans. The extreme Republicans obviously supporting Jim Jordan, who is one of the most extreme Republicans. But let me give you some idea of how the Wisconsin Republican representatives were coming down yesterday. I have a story here from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It says Wisconsin Republicans supported Steve Scalise before he withdrew, throwing the House into chaos. The House of Representatives, the United States House of Representatives, in chaos at a time when Israel is at war and there are many other issues that need to be dealt with immediately, including a possible government shutdown just a few weeks away if they can't come up with a budget. So I'll give you a little bit of this story from the Journal Sentinel, Dateline Washington. It says Louisiana Representative Steve Scalise Thursday night withdrew his name from the race for Speaker after struggling over the past 2 days to rally the support of his fractured caucus, keeping the House's top spot vacant and business stalled. Quote, I just shared with my colleagues that I'm withdrawing my name as a candidate for the Speaker designee, Scalise said Thursday evening. If you look at where our conference is, there's still work to be done. Our conference still has to come together, and it's not there. End quote. Just hours earlier, five of Wisconsin's six House Republicans signaled their support for Scalise after he was narrowly nominated for the post in a secret ballot vote on Wednesday. But Representative Scott Fitzgerald remained non-committal early Thursday afternoon as Scalise fell well short of the 217 votes he needed to be elected on the floor. Quote, my problem is if you don't have the votes, we ain't going to the floor, Fitzgerald said after an hours-long closed-door conference meeting earlier in the afternoon. So there's no reason for me to necessarily commit if it's going to be somebody else that's going to be on the floor, is his quote. The people that aren't there are never going to get there, Fitzgerald told the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Scalise's withdrawal from the race emphasizes the uncertainty surrounding who will lead Congress's lower chamber, which has remained leaderless after eight Republicans led an effort to oust California Representative Kevin McCarthy after 9 months in the speakership. Within Wisconsin's Republican delegation, members who previously supported Jordan the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, early Thursday appeared to step in line with many in their conference in supporting Steve Scalise. Representative Tom Tiffany, who sits on Jordan's committee with Fitzgerald, endorsed Jordan earlier this week, but later said that his intention at this point was to back Scalise. He stopped short, however, of giving Scalise his full support. "It's really a dynamic time," Tiffany said. "I want to see what comes out of the conference before saying exactly what I'm going to do, because I don't know," is his quote. Representative Glenn Grothman, who previously said he was leaning towards supporting Jordan, said after Wednesday's secret ballot vote, quote, "Absolutely, I'll vote for Steve Scalise on the floor. We all ought to fall in line. Everybody should respect that vote." Meanwhile, Representatives Mike Gallagher, Brian Stile, and Derek Van Orden all said earlier in the day they would back Scalise on the House floor. Quote, "I think we need to move forward and be united behind the speaker designee," Stile told the Journal Sentinel on Wednesday. "Every day that we don't have a united approach is a step in the wrong direction." So, obviously, today is another step in that wrong direction, since they don't have a speaker yet. Getting back to the story, it says, and Gallagher on Wednesday told MSNBC after Scalise's nomination by the conference that he hoped, quote, "everyone would support Steve Scalise on the floor, on the House floor, regardless of who they voted for. The paralysis is plaguing the House at a consequential time. The chamber is unable to take action to assist Israel and Ukraine as both allies are consumed with war. Congress also faces a mid-November deadline to pass government funding legislation before its short-term spending patch expires. A lot of work to do. Can't do a thing until they get a speaker in place. 17 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Well, I'm a steamroller, babe. I'm bound to roll all over you. Yes, I'm a steamroller now, babe. I'm bound to roll all over you. I'm gonna inject your soul with some sweet rock and roll and shoot you full of rhythm and blues. Well, I'm a cement mixer, a churning urn of burning funk. Yes, I'm a cement mixer for you, babe. A churning urn of burning funk. Well, I'm a demolition derby, yeah. A hefty hunk of steaming junk. Whoa, 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 whoa.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the US Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
93.5, The Tap.
We have some heavy rain on the way today into tonight. An inch to an inch and a half possible here across much of the region. It's going to be windy, too. Cloudy, windy, heavy rain, 48 today. The wind east gusting to between 30 and 40 miles per hour today. Tonight, rain likely down to 45. Tomorrow, showers in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a high of 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
Knocking on Heaven's Door. It's Bob Dylan on a Friday morning. The original version of that song, which, if my memory serves me correctly, was on a soundtrack to a movie that Dylan was in about 50 years ago, Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid, I do believe. And it's 23, almost 24 minutes after 9 o'clock right now, 48 degrees in Eau Claire, 51 degrees in Richland Center. The temperatures haven't changed at all since I came on the air almost an hour and a half ago, staying pretty steady right now, rain and windy just about everywhere. And I just want to give you a little update on what's going on in the Middle East right now. The Israel-Hamas war, headline from the New York Times just posted, says that panic grips Gaza as Israel calls for 1.1 million people to evacuate. The Israeli military demanded that Palestinians in northern Gaza move to the south as its troops mass on the border. The United Nations warned that the forced relocation would have, quote, devastating humanitarian consequences. And I just saw one of the cable news channels showing some of the pictures from Gaza right now. People leaving, moving south any way they can, in cars, on foot, on the backs of donkeys. It's a mass evacuation, over a million people having to head south because it looks like, it sounds like Israel is just going to flatten the northern portion of that area. So here's the latest from the New York Times. It says here that frightened Palestinians packed belongings and left their homes in northern Gaza on Friday, today, after Israel's military demanded that more than a million civilians move to the south of the blockaded coastal strip, a possible precursor to a ground invasion, but one that the United Nations warned could be calamitous. Israel's buildup of soldiers near the border with Gaza has fueled speculation that it is preparing to invade the Hamas-led territory in response to last weekend's incursion that killed more than 1,300 people. Israel last sent troops into the enclave in 2014, but many Palestinians were reluctant to leave their homes for southern Gaza, which has even fewer resources, and routes to get there have been damaged by a week of Israeli strikes. Hamas officials urged Palestinians not to comply with what they called Israel's psychological warfare. Israel's retaliatory airstrikes since Saturday, deadlier and more widespread than its past campaigns in Gaza, have wiped out entire neighborhoods, brought the medical system to the brink of collapse, and forced some 400,000 people into temporary shelters as they face dire shortages of food, water, and fuel. Gaza's health ministry said that 1,799 Palestinians, including 583 children, had been killed since Saturday, and that 7,388 people had been injured. 9:27, got to take a break. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you in worn-out shoes, silver hair and ragged shirt and baggy pants, the old soft shoe. He jumped so high, he jumped so high, and then he lightly touched down.
CBS News Special Report, the U.S. in lockstep with Israel in the seven-day-old war with Hamas.
The United States has Israel's back, and that is not negotiable, and it never will be.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin, after meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu in Tel Aviv, hours after Israel ordered more than a million people to leave northern Gaza within 24 hours. CBS's Robert Berger reports from Jerusalem.
That probably signals a massive Israeli assault on the area. But even the UN says it's impossible for a million people to leave. There's no transportation. There's little food and water.
In the West Bank, protesters marching in a show of solidarity with Palestinians in Gaza. The war has claimed over 2,800 lives on both sides. The UN says 447 children have been killed in Gaza. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. With 2024 campaigning well underway, President Joe Biden's re-election effort will use Wisconsin and Arizona for an organizing strategy pilot test. According to the Washington Post, the Democratic National Committee is trying to steer supporters to a new smartphone app and focus on relational organizing rather than campaigns with traditional door-knocking and call sheet lists. The initial pilot program will target Latinos, African Americans, women, and young people. About halfway through Breast Cancer Awareness Month, a bipartisan bill to support those at risk for breast cancer is making its way towards a committee vote in the state Senate. The bill is designed to help women who have dense breasts receive treatment to detect breast cancer in its early stages. The legislation would allow the state to cover the costs of additional diagnostic screenings, as women with dense breasts are 4 to 6 times more likely to get breast cancer than women who don't. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
It's the Wild West of how students are using generative AI.
As educators, there's sort of 6 responses that we can have to these new tools. We could ignore it. Mm-hmm. We could ban it. We can try and outfox it. We can teach about it. We can actually teach it, or we can teach with it. I think the most exciting one, of course, is to teach with it.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand.
Yes, music from the Beatles on this Friday morning. And did you get to see the Beatles on Ed Sullivan back in 1964, February of 1964? Well, if you did, you got to be at least in your mid-60s by now. But that was one of the songs that they played that night, their first appearance on Ed Sullivan. And then they came back just a few weeks later. I think 2 or 3 weeks later, they were on again. And it seemed like that night when the Beatles were on Ed Sullivan, it seemed like the whole world changed. Like after that night, everything was different. At least that's the way it seemed to me. Ed Sullivan, by the way, bringing that up because it was on this date, October 13th, in 1974, that Ed Sullivan passed away. But man, back in those days, in the 1960s and 70s, way before the internet and way before there was even music magazines for rock and roll, the Ed Sullivan Show was one of the most important places to check out what was going on, because Ed had all of the rock and roll bands on, all of the bands from England and then from the United States too, as they started to spring up in the 60s. Yep. If you were there, then you know what I'm talking about. Hey, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 9:36 right now, almost 9:37. Steady temperatures. Hayward has 45 degrees, 46 degrees in Amory. And the next topic that we want to discuss here is what happened yesterday. Let's see. Just before the break, I should say, we were talking about Speaker of the House, right? This is like one of the most important things in the news right now. The United States House of Representatives has no speaker, so they can't get anything done. They can't help to fund the Israel conflict. They can't help to fund Ukraine. They can't even help fund the United States government as we push toward another shutdown, possibly. So how are they going to resolve this? You know, they thought they had a speaker with Steve Scalise, but the hard right extremists weren't willing to support him, so they knew he was not going to get over the finish line. So now they're looking at Jim Jordan, but there is some rumblings going on that Republicans might have to work with Democrats to pick a speaker. I have a story here from Bloomberg. It says top House Republican wants help from Democrats to pick a speaker. This piece was posted last night at Bloomberg, and it says the Republican leaders of two national security committees called for dramatic action to overcome the standoff in the election of a U.S. House speaker, which has left the chamber paralyzed and unable to address aid to Israel or conduct any other business. Armed Services Chairman Mike Rogers and Foreign Affairs Chairman Michael McCaul acknowledged Thursday that their party is unable to get 217 votes to elect a speaker solely on the backs of Republicans' support. Republicans can afford to lose only 4 votes if Democrats remain united behind Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries. Rogers suggested Republicans might have to cut a deal with Democrats and called on Jeffries to spell out what concessions he would require to help the Republicans elect a speaker. And here's a quote. They put us in this ditch along with 8 traitors, the Alabama Republican said, referring to the hardline Republican dissidents who toppled Kevin McCarthy last week. Quote, we're still the majority party. We're willing to work with them, but they got to tell us what they need, end quote, referring to the Democrats. McCaul later said the House might need to grant legislative powers to Patrick McHenry, the Speaker pro tem, so the chamber can act on a national security package for Israel. Doing so would almost certainly require some Democratic support. Quote, I don't think we're going to have any other option, McCaul said in an interview with Bloomberg Television's Balance of Power given the urgency to pass an aid package for Israel. Quote, I don't think that's the ideal scenario, he added, but said no one in his conference seems capable of reaching 217 votes. Their comments address the deep divisions within the Republican ranks that have immobilized the party for more than a week since McCarthy's October 3rd ouster. Majority Leader Steve Scalise of Louisiana, who on Wednesday clinched the Republican Speaker nomination in a narrow secret ballot vote against Jim Jordan of Ohio, remains far short of the vote tally he needs to win an election on the floor, and his holdouts show no signs of budging. Jeffries indicated that Democrats were willing to work with Republicans, but he did not specify what his party would demand in return. An earlier power-sharing proposal was rejected by McCarthy before his historic ouster. Quote, the House of Representatives has been broken by chaos, dysfunction, and extremism, Jeffries said. The only way out is to enter into an enlightened bipartisan coalition of the willing in order to get things back on track. Rogers said Scalise is in the same situation McCarthy was in when it took 15 ballots to elect him in January, and that many in his party would never get behind Jordan, a conservative firebrand. The leadership vacuum, he says, leaves Republicans without a clear path forward that endangers national security and risks imperiling Israel in its war with Hamas. Quote, to limit ourselves to just getting 217 out of our conference, I think, is not a wise path forward, Rogers said. McCall is among a growing group of Republicans amplifying calls to expand McHenry's temporary authority to allow him to preside over legislative business. Another Republican, David Joyce of Ohio, told reporters he's contacted Democrats about expanding McHenry's authority for a limited period of time, perhaps 30 or 60 days, and that Democrats have been amenable to that approach to act on issues like Israel. Representative Steve Womack of Arkansas supports that idea. The only other option, he said, is for Democrats to enable election of a Republican speaker nominee by voting present, which would lower the threshold needed for victory. Jeffries has offered discussions on a bipartisan path forward, but Rogers said Democrats should make a specific offer that could provide a basis for opening negotiations. They haven't offered jack, is the quote from Congressman Rogers. So now what's going to happen? Is there a chance that the Republicans would be willing to work with the Democrats to put together some kind of a coalition of the willing? And I think that if the Republicans want the Democrats to vote for that pro tem, the temporary guy, they're going to demand some concessions in return for their votes, even if they only vote present, wouldn't you say? We got 9:44 right now. I want to give you just a little bit of this thing about Nikki Haley before we go to the break. Nikki Haley tells New Hampshire voters why Trump should not be the president. She says, leave the negativity and the chaos. And I think most people would agree with that. This is a piece from USA Today. It says, Americans need to stand behind Israel. And that includes former President Donald Trump. Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley said on Thursday, quote, while we have their back now that they've been hit, what's more important is that we have their back when they hit back, Haley said at a New Hampshire town hall sponsored by the USA Today network. The former ambassador to the United Nations said Hamas must be eliminated and, quote, we need to remember who the true backer of all this is, Iran, end quote. Haley, who served under Trump, also went after her former boss, who at a rally on Wednesday called Hezbollah, an ally of Hamas, very smart. That's right. Trump called Hezbollah very smart. And Trump said Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu let us down, in quotes, let us down, just before the U.S. killed a top Iranian general in 2020. Haley said such comments are why it's time for a new generation of leaders to, quote, leave the negativity and chaos and the baggage, quote, end quote, in the past. She said, we can't have someone who is so clouded with the past that they can't see the future, she said to whistles and applause. Donald Trump was the right president at the time. I don't think he's the right president now. The words of Nikki Haley in New Hampshire, who's vowing to be president herself. Will Republicans listen to her, or will they stay on the Trump train? 9:46, got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned into the Stu Daniels Show.
Everybody's talking at me. I don't hear words they're saying. Only the echoes of my mind. People stopping staring. I can't see their faces. Only the shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the weather suits my clothes. Banking off of the northeast winds, sailing on summer breeze. And skipping over the ocean like a stone. I'm going where the sun keeps shining.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
We have some heavy rain on the way today into tonight, an inch to an inch and a half possible here across much of the region. It's going to be windy too, cloudy, windy, heavy rain, 48 today. The wind east gusting to between 30 and 40 miles per hour today. Tonight, rain likely down to 45. Tomorrow, showers in the morning, then mostly cloudy with a high of 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 48.
coming down again, coming down again, coming down again. Share your thoughts, there's nothing you can hide. She was dying to survive. I was caught, oh, taken for a ride. She was shown.
Music from the Rolling Stones, Coming Down Again. That song from the album Goat's Head Soup. And that album, Goat's Head Soup, released on, I shouldn't say released on this date. It was on this date in 1973 that it went to number one on the album chart and actually stayed there for 4 weeks. Rolling Stones. Man, it was probably when they were at the height of their game, eh? And Mick Taylor on guitar. Yeah, good stuff. On a Friday morning, welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And I was just checking out some of this feedback, some of the outcry going on concerning the former president's speech on Wednesday down in Florida, drawing quite a bit of condemnation. This is a headline from the New York Times. It says, Trump's remarks on Hezbollah and Netanyahu prompt bipartisan outcry. Republican rivals and the White House were among those to roundly condemn the former president for his characterization of the Lebanese militant group. It says here that former President Donald Trump drew scorn from both sides of the political aisle on Thursday for remarks that he made one day earlier criticizing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel and referring to Hezbollah, the Iran-backed militant group, as, quote, very smart. During a speech to his supporters in West Palm Beach, Florida, on Wednesday, he weighed in on the Hamas attacks on Israel, the worst experienced by America's closest Middle East ally in half a century. Hezbollah, the Lebanese Shiite group, has clashed with Israeli forces in the days after Hamas fighters from Gaza attacked border areas in southern Israel, intensifying concerns that the country could be drawn into a conflict on a second front. Quote, you know, Hezbollah is very smart. They're all very smart, Mr. Trump said. He took swipes at Mr. Netanyahu on the Brian Kilmeade Show, a Fox News radio show broadcast on Thursday, arguing that intelligence lapses by Israel had left it vulnerable to the sweeping attack, kidnappings, and slaughter of civilians leading to the war. A broad spectrum of political rivals condemned Trump on Thursday, including the White House and several of his Republican primary opponents. Quote, statements like this are dangerous and unhinged. Andrew Bates, the deputy White House press secretary, said in a statement, it's completely lost on us why any American would ever praise an Iran-backed terrorist organization as smart, or have any objection to the United States warning terrorists not to attack Israel. While filing paperwork on Thursday to appear on the Republican primary ballot in New Hampshire, Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, who is running a distant second to Trump in national polls, also admonished his main rival, saying, you're not going to find me throwing verbal grenades at Israeli leadership, said Mr. DeSantis, whose campaign shared a clip Wednesday night of Trump's Hezbollah remarks on X, the social media platform, formerly known as Twitter. Former Vice President Mike Pence similarly objected to Trump's rhetoric, saying that his former boss was sending the wrong message. Well, look, this is no time for the former president or any other American leader to be sending any other messages than America stands with Israel, Pence said during a radio interview with New Hampshire Today. Pence disputed Trump's characterization of Hezbollah and pointed out that Trump's compliments to a brutal figure were not new. Trump referred to President Vladimir Putin of Russia as a genius, very savvy after Russia invaded Ukraine last year. And as President Trump praised Kim Jong-un, the North American leader, as very honorable. Yeah, we've run out of time. And so 9:58 right now, going to wrap it up for today. I hope you have a good day. Hope you have a good weekend. Do something nice for someone today. And I'll see you back here on Monday morning at 8 o'clock.
Plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W2280 P. Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.